Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, season 5, episode 4. I am Jake, with me is Mike.
What is up everybody, and joining us as always is Ben.
Hi everybody.
Hello, and welcome back, as I have returned from PAX South. Yay!
You want to tell us a little bit about your trip? Welcome back.
It was fun. I mean, like, the actual travel sucks, because travel always is terrible, and I got stuck in Chicago.
Airports are awful.
I got stuck in Chicago for like 2 hours longer than I was supposed to, so yay, that's fun. Awesome. But, yeah, it was a great time. Made my seemingly now annual trip down to PAX South. It's my second year running for it. It seemed to be a little bit smaller than last year. I think that was mostly because none of the quote-unquote big boys were there in, like, any way, shape, or form. Like, there was no, like, Resident Evil 2 or Devil May Cry, any, like, big AAA titles. And, like, those two and Days Gone were all, like, big parts of PAX South last year. But, like, I think in another sense, it was way more quantity because there were a shitload of, like, smaller indie titles there and lots of other, like, mid-sized booths. I think, like, Mixer might have been, like, one of the bigger booths there. Maybe the biggest booth, but yeah, whatever. It's Mixer. I'm not surprised. No Twitch presence, though. I always think that's funny. That mixes.
Twitch goes to the big ones. I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, PAX also spreads themselves out. Like, they have, Comic-Con has, like, there's so many. There used to be, like, what, the main three or four, and now there's, like, six or seven of all of these, all little spin-off ones. So yeah. It seems like the big boys go to the big ones, and PAX South is definitely, like, one of the, is in the handful of, like, the spin-offs of the PAX universe, I guess.
True. It is the newest of, like, that kind of quote-unquote franchise of PAX cons. But it was good. I mean, surprisingly, like, there were some, like, weird games that had really long lines. Like, I think the longest line I saw was for, like, Sniper Elite VR. And I was just very taken aback by, like, people were waiting upwards of, like, 45 minutes to an hour to play that game. And I was just like, that's insane. And so basically, I go down for one day, and as usual, I end up regretting buying the one-day pass because, A, Xavier Woods was there on Friday when we were going to register.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was doing autograph signings. I could see him as I was registering. I'm like, fuck, should have bought a three-day pass. And then they were doing, like, a big Fortnite thing with, like, Dr. Lupo and some other bigger Fortnite people on Sunday. So I keep saying it, but I think I'll probably do the three-day next year just because we were able to – it's able to cram everything into one day, but it's a very hectic and very busy day. So, yeah. Anyways, let's
look up panels and stuff you want to do beforehand, too. Because, like, he did a D&D thing on Saturday night with, like, Morgan Webb and a bunch of other people, too.
It's like a PAX thing, yeah.
So definitely, like, that's what, when I was, even if I was working them, I would still look up, like, the schedule and pinpoint, like, one or two things I'd want to see or do and try and fit those in. If you're going as a visitor, like, just revolve your schedule around panels and shit that you want to see.
I mean, yeah, I would, believe me, I, like, that is, like, ideally the way to do it, but also it's like I have a lot of family living down in San Antonio, so I'm like trying to juggle family time, and also it's like okay hey everybody, I'm here for like 5 days and three of them are I'm gonna be completely unavailable. So it's it's a balance game, but maybe, you know, we'll see how next year goes. I might just maybe just do a little bit of each day rather than just all of one day, but
yeah, you could do that too.
Either way, like, it's still a great time, still have a lot of fun doing it. So let's now talk about all the games I got to play while I was there. I pretty much play fast and loose when it comes to games at PAX South. Basically, my one, like, rule is if there's no one waiting in line to play it, I will walk up and play the game. And that leads me to playing a lot of games that I probably wouldn't normally try out and just a lot of weird shit. So I'm going to be pretty quick with my mini reviews as to I don't want to spend, like, 1,000 hours talking about these games, and I'm not trying to be reductive, but a lot of them are very similar to other types of games, so I might just describe them that way. I will say this, though. Every game I played was good, and I enjoyed playing. So once they all come out in whatever fashion, I will probably follow them up in some way, shape, or form. First off, these are just in some random order I wrote them down in. Ultra Bugs. This is the next Vlambeer title. They're the ones that did Super Crate Box and Nuclear Throne and a couple other titles. It's really cool. It's kind of like a Space Invaders Galaga style, like, retro throwback game. with a little like Geometry Wars mixed in. It's really hard to describe. Just like watch like 30 seconds of this game, and you'll totally understand what I'm talking about. But it was really cool. Can't wait for that one. Next one is One Shot. This is basically a Windjammers type game with a super bar. Just play like Windjammers. So it's just, hey, there's another Windjammers out there. Cool.
One Shot is on Steam, isn't it?
Yeah, it was in early access, I think, on Steam.
Yeah, because it's on the sale right now for like relatively cheap. Was it like, is it something worth looking into?
I mean, sure. I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, I don't know how much there is to do other than playing against other people online, because all you got to do is play against
the
person standing next to you. So it just might be limited to that.
I'll have to check it out.
But yeah, it seems like every game I played was not, except for one, wasn't like fully out there available in stores, etc. Everything, a lot of these were just either still in early access or just not even at early access yet. So I don't know the status of a lot of these, but it seemed like most of them were on track to be out this year at the latest. So yeah, that was good. Axe Cop. This was apparently based off of like some comic book like a child wrote, and it's totally like in Earthbound style of comedy in a Final Fantasy II style of gameplay. And yeah, total throwback to the SNES era RPGs, and a lot of fun. The Artful Escape. This was, I think, shown off at E3 last year. This is a very gorgeous looking game. It's kind of like the one, like the side scrolling platformer where you're like basically like shredding on a guitar the entire time. And it's very gorgeous and pretty. That's that game. Dodo Peak. This was the only mobile game I played. Dodo Peak is essentially Qbert with a little bit of like Crossy Road / Frogger mixed in. I will definitely be playing this one. Hopefully it's not on Apple Arcade and it's just in the store. Forsaken Castle. This is straight up Castlevania NES and Metroid NES era style of game. More of the Castlevania art style, but totally throwbacks to those games. Windjammers 2, obviously, it was a sequel to Windjammers, played exactly like the first one, did not need to be changed in any way, shape, or form. Same goes for Streets of Rage 4. Specifically on those two games, they kind of went for the more anime, cel-shaded art style. Wasn't really feeling it on either of them. It's a gorgeous art style, but it didn't really fit either of those games. I think they should have stuck with the more like 8 and 16-bit pixel style, so...
I feel like that's being overused by, like, when 3D first came out in movies and every movie wanted to do it, I feel like the pixel-shaded stuff is now just being overused and is unnecessary.
True, but these were established franchises that already had that art style, so now they've just completely, like, 180'd from it. So maybe it's just, like, an adjustment thing of if I played it for long enough, I'd be like, I mean, neither of them looked bad. It was just like this is so different than what I'm used to with these games.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like one of those little adjustment periods. But I mean, they both
Streets of Rage doesn't seem like that would be appropriate to be in that at all.
Yeah, especially maybe because I'm playing like a lot of River City Girls too. It's like I'm playing a beat 'em up in that style.
You're
in
already
art
in
style,
that
so
mindset.
I'm already like,
yeah,
I'm already in there. And then the final game I'll talk about, this is the only one that was actually released, is available now, is this fucking title. Gunvolt Chronicles : Luminous Avenger IX. It's about as anime as fuck as you can actually tell by the title. Definitely go watch a video of gameplay, because this is like one of those like super anime, like when you do your super, it's a Mega Man style, like 2D side-scroll shooter. This is one of those, like, when you're in the middle of a boss fight, like, it'll freeze everything and the screen will, like, turn into a wall of text because the boss is, like, talking to you in a very anime-ass style. It's a fucking wild game. I'm probably going to... It's only, like, $15 on Switch. I think it's also on Steam.
You're
going
to have to type me that name.
Yeah, yeah. It's also on Steam. I think it's like, $15. Right. Yeah, that game's
wild. I'd like Mega Man.
Yeah.
Mega Man anime crossover, I'm all about
it's
it.
It's got a whole, like, bunch of systems that I couldn't even, like, dive into in the short time I played it. But, yeah, it's a very, very just weird-ass game that I...
So it's a level-based platformer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But more or less, yeah. So that's everything I played at PAX. I kind of watched a handful of games. Secret Neighbor, like as like was super popular there. I watched a little bit of it.
Dude, that game's
cool,
awesome.
But that was like, I would say maybe other than Mixer, like one of the biggest booths there, and a shit ton of people were playing it. It looked, I couldn't really understand it just by looking at it in a fucking loud ass, you know, con, but it, I mean, people were really enjoying it, so I assume that's a, that was a,
that's
cool
a game,
game
that with friends will be I don't know if it's on console. I know it's on Steam, but if that comes to PS4, we should definitely all grab it, because one person's the neighbor and everybody else are kids, and
or
the
Hello
can
Neighbor. That's
the
name of it. That's Secret Neighbor. Hello Neighbor.
Oh, then
I don't know.
No, Secret Secret Neighbor is the multiplayer. They're right. Two different games.
All right, I'm gonna have to.
Secret Neighbor is a multiplayer game where one person's the neighbor, all the other people are kids, and the neighbor can disguise himself as a kid, and you kind of have to find who the neighbor is while the kids all escape.
Right and wrong. Hello Neighbor is the single-player version, and then Secret Neighbor is a separate, multiplayer-only
thing. Okay. Yes, but they're two separate games, technically.
Yes.
They're the same idea, but they're two separate things.
But yeah, that seemed to be really popping as far as people were
It's really fun.
A lot of that. And
that's like a get drunk and be idiots.
It seemed like, game. Yeah, it was like a kind of
it's like Friday the 13th kind of thing.
A
yeah.
cool like party game style.
It's
thing,
super
yeah.
fun.
But yeah, that was more or less my PAX experience. Got to I just enjoy being on the floor, seeing all the cool shit, all the cosplay shit people are selling.
That's always fun.
People overcharging grossly for like retro games. It was hilarious to see that in person. I was even making offhand comments about how shit was over, and people were right next to me going like, "Yeah, you were totally right. Like this thing is like three times the value of it is." So I'm like, "Yeah, like don't buy it. Obviously, don't buy this shit. No, don't."
I mean,
don't
it's like
it.
When you go to a movie or a concert, everything is overpriced because it's there for convenience.
Yeah,
that's why they don't let you bring in anything.
Yeah, but I managed to snag a copy of BMX XXX for $10, so I'll consider that a big victory for the GameCube. A game, another game I never played, and I also heard it was not terrible. It's basically like the Dave Mira freestyle BMX engine.
Tony Hawk, Dave Mira.
Yeah, but it's like all like now probably like it was probably cringy back then. I'm probably sure now like the style and all that is super cringy and awkward because they try to do like, oh man, it's x-rated and you drive around, and the girl you have play as a girl and she's like doesn't have a top on and it's crazy, you know.
Oh my god, I remember
that.
I remember the cover of that game.
Yeah I figured for $10 I couldn't pass it up, so I'm now the not proud, but I am the owner of that game for the GameCube.
As long as the gameplay is good,
hey,
what do
you
care? You
know what? That's
part
what
of
I,
the problem,
that's
Mike.
What I heard was it actually plays relatively well. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm on a huge kick of playing these old school extreme, quote unquote, like sports games. So why not pick up one I never played before? So
did you finish Metroid yet?
No, I didn't even start that one. I've been saving that one. That's okay. Kind of like when I'm trying to get through what I'm playing now. That'll probably be the next like single player thing I start. It'll be that or Devil May Cry, because that's basically like, the two single player games I want to get to, because now we can switch gears to the non-PAX games I've been playing, and that other single-player game is River City Girls, which I'm still having a shit ton of fun in, and I can't say any more than that because my last week summed it up. It's a River City game. It is right on the title, you know exactly what you're getting, and it's one of those, and it's really funny. The writing's really funny, and I'm just having a good time playing it. So, yeah, more of that, and I'm surprised at how big the world is. It's definitely larger than River City Ransom by a significant margin, but
should hope so.
Yeah, so yeah, still have I don't know, maybe like 25-30% done with that game. It's hard to gauge. I've fought two bosses so far, so I'm making my way through and we'll continue playing that. Apex Legends, I am totally like all the way back into this game. I kind of just started picking at it here and there because I was looking for some shooter to scratch the itch that Call of Duty was not, and I just kept going back to this game more and more, and now I'm like all the way in. I've already got the battle pass up to 40, I think, with 10 days ago, so I will not hit max level, but at least I probably, if I can get at least 10 more level, I think I need 12 more levels to get like the one skin I really want to get. But you level up pretty fast in the game, not to mention it's kind of like a Fortnite thing But there's a shit ton of challenges they throw out every week, and you just fly through the levels if you do those challenges. Because even with Apex, what's really cool is every week there's like 8 challenges, and there's like 5 of them are just like, here's 5,000 XP. And then there's 2 or 3 of them that are just like, you complete this challenge, you just get a full level on the Battle Pass just right there, right then and there. So you can get probably 30 levels of the Battle Pass easily just by doing those challenges. And there's 15 plus weeks worth of them to go through. So, yeah, it's really helped me fly through these levels with Season 4, I think, February 4th. They already announced a new character. I forgot his name, some big brutish-looking guy. They didn't say anything, I think, yet about what map is going to be, whether or not it's a new map or they're going back to Season 2, 1 and 2's map. But either way, totally all in on Apex Legends again. So, yeah, that'll be my shooter of choice for the foreseeable future. But otherwise, that is all I have to talk about this week.
Played a lot of stuff. I mean, I guess
yeah, so it makes sense. PAX really helps me play a shit ton of games.
Yeah, I actually played mostly indie stuff this week as well. I bought the Humble Bundle Australian Relief Bundle, and it came with like Hollow Knight and Void Bastards and a couple other pretty big titles, which will be nice to have. But most of it was smaller stuff, so I've just kind of been downloading it, running through, and uninstalling. The first one was Framed. This reminded me a little bit of that game from the Genesis comics where you move from frame to frame, but it's a puzzle game instead. Comic Zone, that's what it was. You move from frame, your character moves from frame to frame, and then based on how one frame leads into the next, you can reorder the frames around to lead to the end of that page or strip or whatever you want to think of it as. And as the game progresses, you get more and more ways to manipulate the game. So, like, one of the abilities you get is you can manipulate it as your character is moving. So you kind of have to move it. Sometimes you'll have to move it like back a few panels or move a couple panels around in front of it. And usually inside of a strip, there's like one or two stationary ones. It's usually the one at the end and then like one in the middle. So you kind of have to revolve the other frames around that to get through. The game came with 2 games. It's like the Framed Collection. I played through the first one. Took me, I don't know, I probably spent like 90 minutes in it. It was fun. The music was really good. It's, like, very jazzy. The story is kind of interesting, I guess. It's, like, a noir-style crime thing done in a comic book way. But, yeah, it was a fun little, like, adventure to play on the side. Next one was Hand of Fate 2. This is, like, a D&D roguelike mixed with super basic Dark Souls mechanics. So you get a mission, like the best way to present it is like you're presented with like a D&D campaign. So you can have a follower, you can throw in a pool of different equipment, you can throw in a pool of different encounters, and then there's like a mission revolving around that. So like it's get to the end point with this many tokens or get to the end point with having done this or whatever. And then based on what you threw into the equipment pool and the encounter pool and all those kinds of things, you can possibly encounter it, you possibly won't. And then there's certain things that are like automatic with each campaign, cards that you just can't avoid. And then when you go into those quote unquote encounters, it's like it's a very basic roll, block, hit Dark Souls like combat. It's calling it Dark Souls is even super crude. Like it's a block, hit, roll mechanic. You do have like a finisher on certain, each weapon is like a different stat, so like they have a finisher based on how many hits you do. If you do that, those consecutive hits without getting hit, you can perform a finisher. Some weapons have special abilities. and then cards will have like tokens on them, and in order to get that token off the card, you have to do the challenge. So like on a shield, it'll be like block 10 enemy attacks, and then you'll get that token. And then tokens contribute to acquiring new encounters, acquiring new equipment, all the different things to throw into the pool each time. The map's gigantic. I assume there's probably like 20 plus encounters. I've done one or two. Each one takes, I mean, the first one was a tutorial. Second one took me like, I don't know, probably 20 minutes to a half an hour. It's fun. It's very, very easy, combat wise. The RNG and dice rolls and all the D&D stuff is really, really entertaining because that's, you know, I love D&D. The combat is very, very basic and very easy. If you've played any sort of Souls game or any sort of like combat game in that form. So that kind of like, I don't know, maybe it gets harder as the campaigns go on. I guess like if you have less health due to running into a lot of encounters, maybe that'll be a thing, but we'll see. The D&D part for me is more exciting than the fighting mechanic, but maybe once I acquire new weapons and stuff like that, it'll get better. The third one is Night Team 4. This game is fucking awesome. This is an AR hacking puzzle game. So I say AR because it makes you go to like actual websites and use actual search engines and all that kind of stuff. But the basic point of the game is you are given like a mission. It usually revolves around finding background information on a company or a person or installing like a backdoor into somebody else's network or whatever. But the cool thing about the game is it uses real world technology and then simplifies it so you can do it in game. So you can hack into people's phones if you have their MAC address and the VPN. You can do real world searches with like Google, Bing, Yahoo, there's a couple other search engines in there, and you can queue it up just like you would in a command console. So there's a lot of like actual real world stuff in there mixed with a lot of like real technology, but super basic and easy to use because there's no way they're going to force you to learn something that takes like people years to master in real life. But it's fun. The missions are not hand-holdy at all. It's like infiltrate this network, go, and they'll just give you like a domain name. And based off that domain name, you have to get into the network. You have to find information in that network that you need. If they want you to plant something in that network, you have to go through those processes. It's a lot of windowed back and forth stuff, checking documents that you find. It's fun. It's really, really interesting. And if you ever had like that want to like be in the Matrix and feel awesome and feel like you're doing like these awesome hacking maneuvers, this game makes you feel that way. Because although it can be pretty difficult in certain situations, the payoff at the end really feels good. Cause it actually, you do the legwork. Yes. It's like very basic command or console commands, but you are still technically doing the legwork. So the payoff is really, really fun. And, it's actually written really, really well. There's a ton of dialogue because the tutorial itself is a couple hours to teach you how to do all these things and you all use all these different pieces of technology and stuff like that. So yeah, it's really, really well done. I'm very impressed. And last thing is just more Tarkov. That's just kind of same as always. I'm just trying to get through more quests. They did update that originally the next wipe was going to be in 3 months. Now they're looking more like 5 because the next map is going to be Streets of Tarkov. And they said that that's their most ambitious map yet. So it's going to take them a little while longer. Plus the servers are so fucked right now from all the new incoming people from the Twitch drops and stuff like that. It's just, like, the queue time has gone up by hundreds of percentages. Like, I used to get into a game in, like, 2 minutes or under. Now it's anywhere between 6 and 10 minutes, depending on, like, the time of day. It's rough. I'm either hoping that's going to die down, or I'd rather have them just fix the servers, because I'd want a bigger population. But, yeah, they've got another couple months before the next wipe, so hopefully that'll be one of their bigger concentrations. But, yeah, that's it for me.
I've played some games this week as well, as crazy as that sounds. I managed to start up Final Fantasy VI.
Yay!
It is fun. The writing is corny, and I'm enjoying yes. that very much so.
What do you think of Kefka?
Kefka is a clown so far.
Yeah, yes. He's one of my favorite Final Fantasy villains. Clown. Oh, yeah. Dude, Kefka's also great.
Yes. So that was interesting to see. This big badass Kefka showing up looking like a clown and burning shit. But the very first time that Terra uses any sort of magic in a fight, the reaction of Edgar and Locke was so goddamn funny. and threw me off, because when I used it, like, the fight kind of like, so like it kind of goes a little crazy, and they just start having this conversation, and they just start dancing around the screen like it was the craziest thing they'd ever seen. So I was laughing pretty hard at that. So yeah, I'm working my way through that. I got a couple hours in. I just got out of Figaro, and I'm making my way towards the cave to move along.
You were about to get your next party member very soon.
Yeah. Ooh. You're out of the tutorial, essentially, now.
Yeah.
Figaro's like the first... You're out of Midgar, essentially.
Yeah.
If you think of it that way.
That was quick.
Well, it's probably not going to take you more than... Probably, I mean, depending on how much side stuff you do, unless you do the tower will take you hours. But,
I'm not diverging off the main story.
Then maybe like 20 hours?
Yeah.
Maybe less? I don't actually remember how long that game was.
I mean, yeah, it kind of depends on how many party members you go after. Because
that's true, too.
It's hard. I can't, like...
There's some...
I mean, there's a definitely lot, some... But I know it's probably like, I don't know, maybe half of the party you might not encounter unless you go get them.
I think he'll encounter them. I think he just may not be
party,
right. Get them to join unless you do certain things.
A dozen probably party members
then.
Ish.
More than that.
It's been a while since I've like went through like the throes of that game and got everybody. But yeah, there's 10.
But don't you have to? Well, there's at least 10 required, because in that one Moogle sequence you have
three
parties. Yeah,
but that's before the thing. And then afterwards, everything changes. I believe so.
I thought that was
because
after.
You do that twice, actually. You do it in the first
oh,
half of
true.
The game and in the
yeah,
second
yeah,
half
yeah.
of the game.
That's true. Well, so then regardless, you have to have 9 minimum.
So you'll have at
members.
Least 9. I want to say there's probably,
yeah. it's probably 14 or
yeah,
15.
15-ish.
Yeah.
Damn.
You'll encounter most of them. I don't think there's anybody you actually...
There's like...
There might be one or two you actually
like
have
really
to go
off
the beaten path.
Yeah.
yeah.
I remember there's like
one
kind
of Yuffie style
there's like
in 7.
Very much like... This is basically like a hidden party member for how
yeah.
much bullshit you have to go through.
All right. So kind of like Chrono Cross, where there was like 80 million different people you could scoop up.
Yeah. That game was insane. I really want to replay that game at some point and just see what I didn't understand as a kid. I'm sure it would be just as complex now.
Oh, yeah. It was insane.
That magic system was fun, though.
Oh, for sure. It was, I don't know, like a nice change of pace from the usual JRPG of the time.
It was a color-coordinated system. I'd never seen I've never seen anything since that game like it.
Yeah. Maybe Persona? And the...
Yeah, like how one thing links to the next. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's actually a really good point. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, Chrono Cross did that exact thing. Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Civ 6 this week. Since I got my my PC all fired back up and everything. I did get a culture victory this week as Dido. I got, I tried to, like 1v1 my way to a domination victory. So I did like a small map. I picked the Mongolians.
Did you randomize the other person? Because you could just make them somebody weak and dominate the shit out of them.
I randomized them, unfortunately. Okay. I ended up getting Robert the Bruce or whatever, and it went very badly for me. I mean, I was just throwing horsemen and battering rams and archers.
Domination
at this
is
place.
So difficult.
And like it was like. I don't know. I was in a pillow fight with their walls. It was ridiculous. So I was getting my ass kicked. One of my cities rebelled on me.
Nice.
So the Mongolians are not easy to do this with because their civilization is very fragile, apparently. You need a lot of amenities to keep everyone happy. I don't know. It was tough.
The U.S.
It didn't go well.
The U.S. is a really good domination squad to pick because a lot of their bonuses are in war and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I'm not even going to try for it until like I get close to the end of the game because usually when I just go out and just try and do everything, I end up with I'm sitting on a pile of money and can pretty much manufacture an army on a whim.
I usually start with science and culture and build my way out from there. Like, if I notice that nobody's pushing religion, I might start pushing it because it'll be an easy victory. But, like, science and culture pretty much lead to everything else anyway. So, I always build that way. And then I base off, like, after, like, I usually do 500 turns. Like, after 100 turns or so, I'll see where everybody's sitting and, like, go from there. Or, if you have certain people in your game, like Gandhi or fucking France or whatever, they'll just start wars randomly. So, like, you know what you're dealing with if you're up against certain people and how to play that.
Oh, yeah.
I love Civ.
Loves fighting.
Yes, he does. And there's also people that are just assholes that are just like, no matter what thing you do, they're just like, oh. You made that move? Fuck you. It's like, all right, dude.
Well, they did a good job of giving everyone their own personality.
Yeah. No, it's great. That's what gives that game replayability.
So it was the Dutch were really friendly with me, but because we were both, you know, pushing religion and building culture and, you know, that the Dutch liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But Mapuche was not a fan. he was not thrilled with that. And somebody else was real upset that I didn't have a good army. It's like,
how many people do you go up against? Well, yeah, I've had that too. How many people?
I don't know.
I usually
throw like six different civilizations.
Jesus
in a game.
Christ, I'm not up to that point.
But I play
yet.
I play on a monster map. I'll pick the biggest map sizes I can, and
that should be my next step nuts. Then. Is going up in map size and adding more civs. Because I'm still on that, like, 3 to 4 and, like, medium-sized map.
Your next getting this all on PC and playing it the real way.
Dude, it's been on sale, like, 4 times since I've started playing on PC. So it's, like, a fucking sign. It's on sale right now, too. So I guess I
can grab it.
I just have so many other things, like, that I've got on my docket before.
That's true. Yeah, that's always... This will always be on sale somewhere, so
yeah.
No worries there. So after getting my ass kicked, I started up a new game as the Romans. I'm going to try a little different approach, like we mentioned. But I think I messed up a setting somewhere because everything was taking forever to build. So I might just start that over again.
It sucks that you can't change settings mid-game for that. Except for, like... speed up or slow down or something like that. But yeah, like in-game settings, you should be able to change mid-game because it sucks having to start over after you're already like a quarter of the way through.
Yeah, it's I don't know what it was. It was taking forever to build anything. So I'm used to whipping through things, and I was just sitting there as like 2000 BC. I had one city. It was like a 4 population. I had two scouts running around. I was.
You must have game speed turned down to like slow or something like that.
Right. I think that's what it was. So I'll just have to mess with that. Keep it on standard or change it. We'll see. It's free to try again, so that's pretty cool. Other than that, just the usual Call of Duty. Like Mike was mentioning with Apex Legends, I've got the Battle Pass for Call of Duty, and I'm around level 60-ish or so. I don't think I'm going to get to the end of it, though, because it resets. Like,
well, they extended it like 2 weeks, didn't they, or something? I thought I read something the other day that like they extended it like another week or two.
Well, that's cool. I'm still not going to get it, but I did take advantage of double XP weekends.
I saw that.
Weekends.
Bastards.
The last 2 weeks have been double XP weekends. So, and we had the long weekend for the holiday on Monday. And, yeah, I played a bunch for that. And I enjoy it. Like Apex Legends, there's daily challenges that give you EXP boosts. There's always a, I don't know what they're called, but bundle challenges where you have a bunch of different things you can do and you unlock calling cards and sprays and gun skins and character skins for completing tasks and whatnot. So there's still a lot to do in the game. I enjoyed playing it. I think that's it. I think that's all I played.
You think?
Yeah, 14. And, you know, I did the daily stuff. I did get my pig mount. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Ooh.
That was pretty sweet.
What'd you have to do to get that one?
That is the Pixie Beastman tribe quests. That's Shadowbringers. You got a ways to go.
I've already unlocked some of the beast tribe quests, and that just seems like a whole thing of like I don't even want to.
Tribe quests are grinds that for.
That's what it seems tribe, like.
Yeah, it's grinds for like mounts and gear, and that's yeah. There you go. In between
I've taken
dungeon
my
grinds,
Dark Knight up like three levels just doing the pixie quests, and I leveled Gunbreaker up like twice doing the Anatas, the Snake Ladies that you'll find in Stormblood. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's easy. It's you pop on, you do them, spend like 20 minutes doing them, and then you're done.
And if you want mindless, Fates are really good for leveling up jobs.
Yeah once I get back to
you've got the
proper
you've got
leveling.
The bonus running until 70, so
yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, you'll be
fine
for a while.
Even then, I'm in that, like, I'm doing level 50 quests and getting no XP for them, so I need to get
yeah, you
to,
won't.
But there isn't, there's no XP assigned to those quests, so you're not missing anything.
No, I'm just saying, like, I've been trying to bounce between my two jobs, and it's just like I'm making no headway at all. Just
what's the other job?
Samurai. I started using that.
Yeah,
oh,
but you started
at
50
that
with
that.
That
starts at level 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're not going to... I mean, at this point, well...
Don't worry. You will never...
Yeah.
Until you hit 70 and you hit Shadowbringers, you won't have to grind a thing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Just, yeah, I'm trying to get Samurai kind of almost in lockstep with White Mage, so once I hit 70 on one of them, the other one's not like 10 levels behind, and I'm just like, great, I have to grind
yeah,
this
smart.
Character out on bullshit
yeah,
until I can use
trade
it.
Trade off levels.
That's basically what I'm doing. I'm kind of like, all right, I'm not doing anything serious. Let me do the Samurai because I'm still learning that character. Like, okay, these are dungeons. Let me switch to the White Mage because I actually know what the fuck I'm doing.
Are you in
Heaven's Ward? No.
Yeah, where are you?
Heaven's Ward yet?
I'm close. Okay. The last thing... I have to go fight the ice lady. That I think that was my next.
Okay, you're still there.
Quest.
Oh, you're
I'll
still there.
With
yeah.
you,
so
like
then,
the
yeah. Okay. So then you're still like a patch and a half behind, but that last patch is like super tiny, so you'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're close.
There's a new patch coming out.
I saw that.
The middle of February.
Great.
For us.
Yeah. More.
Which I'm still
scenario stuff
way behind.
Yeah, I really need to get back on that shit.
Yeah, I'm still unlocking dungeons and stuff. So 5.2 comes out in mid-February. Echoes of a Fallen Star.
Ooh.
It seems like patches are coming out. Well, I guess this game did release in July, it has been a while.
Two patches in.
That's pretty good, though.
7 months.
Patches in 7 months. Yeah, that seems about right. And then,
when do you think the next expansion will be? Not next year, next not summer. This year, but the year after? 2022? It's 3 years?
Oh, 2021.
Yeah, it'll be next summer.
Okay, yeah. So next summer, right, okay.
Yep, so that'd be cool. You're getting into the meat of the story now.
Yeah, the story's actually getting interesting, so that's why I've stopped mashing through cutscenes and actually paying attention to stuff, since they kept referring to places
you're at
like
the good part now.
To Ishgard and other things like, oh, okay, I know, this is starting to get good.
But that's it for me.
Okie dokie. Let us jump right into another week of delays. Yeah, that's right. News is back and delays are back too. So Cyberpunk got delayed. That's a thing. Previously set for April 16th. Now we'll get pushed back 5 months to September 17th. This is not the only delay this week, so I'm not going to bother you reading the press release because they're all the same. Hey, we need more time, polish, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. With that, this is strictly rumors, but the rumor is that the basis of the delay is that it is struggling to perform well on the PS4 and Xbox, which seems to be why the game is being delayed. That's just a rumor, though. No confirmation of any kind from CD Projekt Red.
You know that's probably the reason. We've been talking about this we've been talking about this for over a year, that games just don't run well on
base
consoles anymore.
A lot of these big I said this in the chat, but it was like a lot of the big AAA games in the last year or so have had notable performance issues, if not like straight up out the gate, that and some of them were just not fixed at all. I mean, I played the quote-unquote patched version of Control and it was still pretty rough, performance wise in those combat sequences. It was not great by any stretch of the word. It was playable but not great. And just I also singled out Call of Duty puts your PS4 in just lockdown mode. You can't do shit while you're playing Call of Duty.
Very loud.
Yeah, and it just it locks up your UI, turns into a turtle. You cannot multitask in any sense of the word while you're playing it. And it's just it seems to be commonplace now. A lot of these games are launching with performance issues. And I know a lot of people were super pumped for this game, as was I, but delays are always for the better. If it takes them extra 5 months, if that's what it takes for this game to not launch completely broken on consoles, that's what it's going to take. The big question with that one now comes, okay, this thing launches in September. Obviously, we're going to assume that new consoles launch 2 months later. What does that mean for this game as far as next gen? We still are totally in the dark as far as how all that shit works. Is this...
The Game of the Year edition will be PS5.
It's man, do you...
All these games coming out this year, Last of Us 2.
Wait?
I mean, you can.
2021.
Think about it this way. If you, for somebody like you who has a base PS4, yes. Because it's probably not going to run super great on a Pro either. I mean, it'll run well, but it's going to be optimized for next gen and PC right now. So on a base, how many problems did you have with Control?
I mean, other than the combat stuff, I had problems, but it seemed to be those problems were not specific to base PS4. The menu, the weird map shit.
And that's true.
That was
everything. I had that on a Pro, too.
But
that's true.
It was just that combat frame rate was just very sluggish. But
I mean that would be my concern for you.
I mean, it kind of depends on... This might turn into a...
It's a gigantic game.
True. This might turn into the, maybe I'll wait a week and see what the reports are from people playing on
consoles.
Oh,
I would anyway.
Like, all right, let's
You're not super
feedback.
Hyped for this anyway,
know,
are
I,
you?
I mean, I totally, like, obviously I was not a fan of Witcher 3, but, like, I love the aesthetic, and obviously CDPR well,
Yeah, this
really
is way more
games,
your vibe.
So I was
yeah,
very
well,
much...
Witcher 3 wasn't your vibe because it was fantasy.
Yeah, and
this is
yeah,
your...
It was that,
this is,
and, you know, yeah. the gameplay was rubbish, but... Yeah, this seems
great.
Way more up my alley, and you know I won't.
Yeah, that's fair.
See, probably the writing alone, you know, they have very good stories. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't top of my list, but it was certainly up there. So, yeah, I mean, this might be like Control, where I was super pumped to play it, and it just turned into like a maybe I'll wait a bit. So this might turn into another one of those like maybe it needs a couple more weeks of polish once it launches. So hopefully not.
Yeah, you never know. They could release a couple of patches, and you'd be fine. I think. Playing it day one on a base console is taking a risk.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this and plus it's going to be in September, so God knows what else is going to be coming out around that time. Like, that's...
Well, if other companies are smart, they won't... Now that they have the Cyberpunk date, they won't release around that time.
And but... plus it's right before new consoles, and again, we don't know how that whole cross-generation shit is going to work, so... You know,
I mean, ideally, you should be able to put the disc in and it works.
Right.
If you have it digitally, you should be able to download it to your PS5.
I mean, as in, like, the, okay, are these companies going to, like, okay, we're putting out Madden 20 in August, and once PS5 launches, that copy is going to get, quote, upgraded if you put it in a PS5 to the PS5 version of the game. If, you know, however that's going to all shake out.
It'll probably be like when 360, because 360 and 1 have that, where it just became like a higher, it was like remastered, essentially. So that's what this will be, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like, yeah, we're all just kind
speculation.
Of speculating.
It's speculation, yeah.
So who knows? Like, are there going to be two different versions? We had this conversation a million times, but hopefully.
Probably.
You know.
Yeah.
The rumor is within February is going to be PS5 announcement, so hopefully we'll put all this conjecture to bed and actually know what the fuck is going on. But anyways,
I mean, for a good year when PS4 came out, they were still, I mean, Phantom Pain was released on the PS3. Can you imagine how that played?
Oh, it's probably terrible.
Yeah, but like there were probably a good year to a year and a half where PS3 games are still being released. We'll probably
True,
see that with PS4 as well.
This generation is going to be different since they're saying that it's going to be backwards compatible from the start. Like, there wasn't any backwards compatibility between 3 and 4. So
I'm just saying they're going to stop producing PS4 games at a certain
point. At some
point,
but it's like these games, like right around now. It's like companies, theoretically, if it's backwards compatible from day one, if you put the PS4 disc into your PS5, you could, again, theoretically download a patch, which gives you whatever graphical and performance boost.
Or it might just play. It might not do anything.
I mean, yeah, it could might just be like, yeah, it just plays no different than on a PS4, except maybe the frame rate and stuff performs a little better, like it does on a
right.
Pro. It might be this like a between a PS4 and a PS4 Pro. It's like okay, the frame rate and graphics are a little better, but it's not going to be some huge generational jump. You'll see. So, like I said, it's a whole lot of speculation. So we'll see. We'll just have to see how that all shakes out. Next up on the delay list is Dying Light 2. This one was set to be released in spring of 2020. No hard release date for that, but it is being delayed to an unknown date. They say they're hoping to put it out by the end of this year, but again, you know, need more time to develop, yada, yada, yada. Not ready to be released. Yeah, just hopefully going to still meet, though, a 2020 release date. Again, very unfortunate, as that was another one I was super pumped to play. But like I said before, delays are always for the better. And man, this really kind of took the wind out of that whole spring massive release window kind of sales now. It's just, well, we got Final Fantasy, we got Nioh, and Last of Us, and that's in like May. So that's really towards like the end.
That'll
of
get
spring.
Delayed.
Yeah,
there's,
shit, you never know at this point.
There's something else too. I'm pulling up my list.
Doom.
Doom Eternal is March. Yeah, so we now have, Nioh is March 13th, Doom is March 20th, and Persona 5 is March 31st, and RE3 Remake is April 3rd.
Oh, that's true, yeah. So RE3...
And Final Fantasy VII is April 10th.
So still
it's
a lot
still
of
still a wee bit busy.
But I mean,
it
like,
is. But
Cyberpunk
instead of March,
like,
it's now
the
into
big
April,
one, and then presumably Dying Light would have been somewhere in there. And I mean, we didn't care about Avengers, but you know that fell out of there. So and was hey,
that's
there's
be
still
September
there's
now,
still
I
time
think.
For shit to get delayed.
Oh yeah, I forgot they're making that game.
Yeah. yeah.
Ugh. Still a ton of unannounced games that were like unannounced release things that we don't even know. Tsushima's in there somewhere.
Yeah, everyone's saying summer for that, so we'll see. As far as
be,
rumor,
I mean,
rumor is summer.
Good. Persona 7, or no, Persona 7, Yakuza 7 is coming out at some point
this
year.
Yeah.
Because that just came out now, this month, it came out like last week or something, in Japan, so I would assume...
It's like August, maybe.
Hopefully like by the summer, yeah. It's usually 6 to 8 months in the past with games, in the franchise, it's been 6 to 8 months, so fingers crossed. Yeah, Persona 5, I'll definitely... I mean, this is totally made time for Persona 5 Royale. I'll totally play that game again. It's been, what... 2 years? 3 years? When did that game come out?
2017. So 3 years.
Jesus Christ. All right. It feels like I played that game yesterday.
Yeah, that's going to be one. I'll be curious. Ben, you said you were in on that one, right? Or are you still
I good? Will get it eventually.
Eventually. Yeah.
It's still too fresh for him.
That's a, yeah,
that, it's
that's
what,
a
that was, what, only a year or so ago for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I played that a few months after it came out.
Really?
I was still working on Horizon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Nier. I can't remember. Nier. I think that's when
you were working on Nier, yeah. Yeah.
All right, next up, we have big news out of the Monster Hunter world. Iceborne, they announced a 2020 roadmap, and obviously with it, they do kind of events, limited time events every month, you know, for... No tie-ins for games like Final Fantasy and Resident Evil and Horizon and Witcher and et cetera, et cetera. But the biggest thing to come out of this is something that specifically PC gamers have wanted for a long time, is syncing all the updates with consoles. That will come in April, finally. This has been...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Normally, this has been, you know, usually about a 3 to 6 month delay, as you can see with Iceborne just releasing now on PC, where it was on consoles released all the way back in September. But yes, starting in April, they will be now all synced up, console and PC synced together. Hopefully, this is working towards...
Does that mean crossplay?
That's what people are hoping for. Yeah,
if that's the case,
I'm
buying it on PC.
They did not announce that in any way, shape, or form. But obviously, this would be the first step towards any sort of cross-play or cross-progression. So,
oh, man, hopefully.
What makes
awesome.
You guys think Capcom is going to be able to pull off cross-play? Curious.
They technically did it with Street Fighter V. That
yeah,
was
all their fighting games do it.
PC and PS4. So
Marvel vs. Capcom 2 does it as well.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot easier to put those codes in on PC.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like the friend or the room code thing or whatever will be super PC friendly.
I mean,
yeah. Hopefully they'll make that better.
I know they got rid of it, but that was still one of the most ridiculous things that
it was a Japan. It was a Japan thing.
Terrible.
They all have shit like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so, yeah, coming April, we will have finally lockstep PC and console versions for Monster Hunter World Iceborne. Coming in February, however, will be Hunt Showdown for the PlayStation 4, February 18th, specifically. Along on that release date, the physical edition for Xbox One will also come out again, and it will be also available physically and digitally for the PlayStation 4.
That's not cross-play, is it?
That is, the 1.2 update is going to add PS4 and Xbox One crossplay, not with PC.
Shit.
So just console crossplay, and that 1.2 update is set to launch right along on the release date, and it's also going to add a solo PvE mode to the game as well, along with a brand new.
Yeah, I did see. Well, that I mean, I think PC has that, but that's cool that they're adding that to console. Is this something you're interested in?
Oh yeah, I'm totally like ever.
Okay.
Yeah, this is, it's you know the unique kind of spin on the battle royale style,
because
kind of like survival game. More, it's like more survival than VR for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, this was one of those games that you can kind of play with a random as well. So it's always been like on my radar, but I don't want to buy it on PC if you're interested in it. Because, Ben, are you interested too? Because I think you can have three-man teams.
Yeah, it's up to three-player teams.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's. I bet Andy would like it too.
Yeah, I feel like quite a few of us would be interested in playing.
I hope it plays well. Like, that's one of those games I need to see the review before I buy it on console, because
I know nothing about my this game.
It's,
I don't know what I just read about it.
So it's a BR of a 2v2v2v2. There's four V2. Teams of two.
It's up, well, it's up to 12. I think
oh, well, that's if three. There's three. Yeah. Right.
So
I'm talking about, so if there's
two 12 players in a room.
Right. So it's four teams, and then there are one or two bosses, and there are multiple clues you have to find along the way to find those bosses. Clues meaning, like, you use, like, a sense thing, and it's like a glowing piece on your map, and you go find it. And along the way to find these waypoints, you fight PvE enemies, and you can come across other players, too. You can have loadouts that you set at the beginning of the game. There's perks that you can have. You level... like, you can level your main account, and then you can also level hunters. And then if that hunter dies, it's, like, completely
it's like
gone.
System.
So you start over, right, but the difference is you don't level your scavs. In this, you're sure. Leveling your actual hunt. Yeah. So you level your hunter, and then you fight the boss, and then you cleanse the boss, and then you have to get out.
That's nice of you.
And then that's when... Isn't it... quote-unquote peaceful until a boss is killed, or can you kill other players then too?
You can kill other players too, but the way it works is once a boss has been cleansed, everybody can see the... So
that
the map
team
is divided into regions. Yeah. So the everybody can see on their map the region the team is in. They can't, like, pinpoint you exactly, because that would be ridiculous, but, like, they can pinpoint the region you're in, so it's essentially everybody's on your ass, and then you, as the team that cleansed it, have a 10-second thing that you can activate, and you can activate it, like, a second at a time, where you can see anybody around you. Like, they'll glow. So you kind of activate it as you go, like, at certain points on your way out, and if there's, like, a glow around you, you know there's an enemy team or whatever. So it's an interesting take on BR/extraction/PvE/PvP. It's cool. It's been around for a while. It just came out of beta on PC, like, this year, I think.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it's very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Keep an eye on it.
Definitely excited mm-hmm. to try that one out next month.
It's on the sale right now, Ben, if you want to check it out. Because I don't know how much it is, but if it's super cheap, I might grab it just
I
to, like,
say
get myself
like
used to it.
It's, like, digital. It's, like,
regularly,
30,
it's 30,
and I think,
yeah,
like, physical is, like, 40 or something like that. But I want to
yeah.
say it's $30.
I think
it's
30
it's not,
digitally.
It's not
I think 60. On the Steam
it's not
sale
full,
right now.
It's not a
no. game. I think on the Steam sale right now, it's, like, 17 or 18, yep. So...
yeah, that'll be coming next month. What won't be coming next month, though, is the Super Nintendo World theme park. That is a little ways down the line. There was an earnings call from NBC Universal earlier this week that revealed that it will be part of the Epic Universe theme park, which gave us a little hint as to this release date, because that theme park is not scheduled to open until 2023. And there was no strict confirmation on whether or not that will be part of the opening in 2023. So yes, we have at least 3 years, unfortunately, until Super Nintendo World comes to America. It is actually coming to Universal Studios Japan this summer. So at least gets kind of a preview of what to expect once it comes stateside. I totally want to go to this when it opens. 100%. Maybe not like
when it
opens.
I can get like tickets to that,
because I want to see all this.
As an NBC Universal employee, I do get perks, so I got to look into that.
That's it's not a bad idea. I mean, this is like one of those, like, I want to see all the Star Wars stuff at Disney, and this is like probably now it's probably cooled off. It's probably like, okay, this opens. All right, minimum 1 year. It's going to be total madness trying to get into that thing. So I guess I would make a week of spending my time at Disney and Universal Studios theme parks. So I do want to see the Star Wars stuff. I've never seen the Harry Potter stuff they have down there. I'm sure that's all cool. But, yeah, this will be another thing to go.
Those would be separate parks.
True, but I'm just saying, just all make one trip to see all of that, because I'm not going to go down just for like one of those. Like, make it worth.
You go down one weekend and you come back, and then you go down to that.
Yeah, that's easy. Just cross country trips every weekend. It's no problem. I'm full of a ton of those.
Just take the private jet. Yeah. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
And our final news story this week, after so many years of waiting, Ninja finally has his own skin in Fortnite, and hopefully you purchased it, because by the time you're hearing this, unfortunately, it's already off of the Epic Store.
I guess it's not really news anymore.
Yeah, but this was the day...
You could have had a skin.
Yeah, exactly. This was the first in what they're calling the Icon series, which is they're going to be bringing actual real people into the Fortnite world and giving them skins and things. They're talking about,
does it come with an awkward floss?
It actually does. It has that dance in there.
Are you serious?
It totally did.
Oh my god.
So yeah, this is, they're gonna be probably, they're bringing people from music and movies and films, so I'm sure they'll have all the people that collaborated with Fortnite. They already announced they're doing additional streamers are going to be part of this Icon series, so yeah, look out for those if you're still into Fortnite. And also, they somehow bumped up the frame rate on the iPad Pro version to 120 frames per second, and people are freaking out about that. I guess, cool, because if you want to play...
Cool?
Yeah, cool. If you're playing Fortnite on an iPad, why not play it at 120 frames per second, I guess. Okay, whatever.
Sweet.
And just like that, we are done with the news this week, which is going to take us into our bonus round, in which we are going to talk gaming accessories and peripherals. This all topic started because I was hoping to give some impressions on the back button attachment, which released for the PS4 this week. However, the release of that has been nothing short of a complete shit show. So, it seems that Walmart decided to be cheeky and break the street date on this earlier. I think it was late last week. It was scheduled to come out today, the 23rd, if you're listening to this, the day it comes out. But Walmart was selling it last week, and then PlayStation on Monday said, today's the day it's out. And everyone's just like, wait, what the fuck? And then now I went to Best Buy to pick one up today, and now their release date is set for February 4th. So I don't know what the fuck's going on with this thing.
What?
My Amazon apparently is also, if you pre-ordered it on Amazon, you got one, but you can't buy one now. They're also out of stock until February 4th.
That's not surprising.
My local GameStop near me has them in stock, so hopefully tomorrow I will be able to pick one up if it's not already sold out. But I don't know. What happened if Sony underestimated demand on this thing and just now everyone's sold out, release dates are changing. They didn't even remember what day came out because they said on the 20th it's out, even though they announced it was going to be out on the 23rd. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But yeah, that's what kind of sprung this whole topic idea. So yeah, next week I'll hopefully talk about that back button attachment. But for now, let's reminisce about... the days of great and also terrible, if you have memories of those, console accessories and peripherals.
Well, Mad Catz made a bunch of shit stuff.
Damn right. Mad Catz was based on some of their stuff.
Well, they were like the first third party people to really do a bunch of that stuff. They made some okay stuff, yeah.
Hey, they did.
I remember there was a controller that had a built-in fan to keep your hands cool while you play.
Are you serious?
I always wanted that because my hands get super sweaty when I play games. But I never
ended up doing it.
Huh. I didn't know that was a thing.
Hey, I will say Mad Catz did arguably the most important thing they ever did was for the Nintendo 64. They created the Rumble Pack / controller pack in one combo thingy, so you could actually use both.
That's true.
I've got that on my list.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
I had two of those things.
Also, like the controller pack plus, which is like four memory cards in one, since the memory cards on those things were so fucking tiny.
When you play as much WrestleMania and No Mercy and create as many characters as I do, you gotta have memory card space.
That expansion for the N64. That was required for Rogue Squadron. Yeah, it was Rogue Squadron and Star Fox 64.
And
I think it
perfect.
Didn't it come with Star
Fox?
Not
Perfect Dark. Yeah, no, the Rumble Pack came with Star Fox.
Rumble Pack came. Right.
And then it was
the Ram Pack came with Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
correct. Mandatory, yes, and the Rumble Pack came with, yes.
And then it basically like gimped multiplayer Perfect Dark if you didn't have it, but you can play the single player just fine.
Yeah, it you couldn't access
bots.
A lot of
I don't
the
think you
game
can use
modes without
the bots
it.
Either. I think bots
Why?
Were complete because
you couldn't do four screen either.
Yeah, I think you can only do like two player.
Two.
Yeah.
Split screen was the only way.
By upgrading your console, you couldn't do certain features.
Yeah, no, you. Yep. Yeah, you needed it to get like the full multiplayer experience. Like,
because the game couldn't run.
Yeah, the game ran like trash with.
Well, yeah, that. Yeah,
I was gonna say it. Still
That's
didn't
true.
That great.
Which is crazy because it was such a good game.
Oh hell yeah! I mean, I remember like that was.
Oh, yeah, we played so much of that.
Yeah, I played so much Donkey.
That and GoldenEye.
Donkey Kong 64. Even though that game was. Now,
God, that game's
terrible,
fucking
so
infuriating.
Bad. So bad. It's like the one of the worst 3D platformers ever. Anyway, that getting off topic here.
We're totally talking about the RAM
yes,
pack,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is necessary for No Mercy to allow ladders, cage, and
really?
Cell matches.
I didn't even know. Like, I already had one, so I didn't know that was a game that like
you needed
was
it.
Yeah, No Mercy, you had to have one too.
No shit.
I mean, I think everything after a certain point, you just needed it, and they didn't advertise that you needed it or not. It was just like, we assume you have
it was
one.
Probably, yeah, it was probably one of those things that like everyone had it, so at that point, it's like, all right, we're
yeah.
just, basically, you don't officially, like, we can't make it mandatory, but like every game worth a shit now is going to need it in some capacity, so I guess that makes sense.
You know, it was an awesome peripheral, which I've never seen on anything before, the Dreamcast memory card.
Oh, the VMU. Yeah, that was
the little, like,
kind.
Yeah, it was you could have, like, your little virtual pet on it as well, and that thing was cool, man.
I can't remember. I want to say, I know PlayStation, I think it was for either PlayStation 2 or 3. I remember, like, after the fact, they said they were, like, toying with the idea of doing something similar, but scrapped it, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
I'm sure that's so expensive
yeah.
to do.
Oh,
like, Dreamcast...
Yeah,
exactly. Dreamcast doing that blew my mind with the amount of money that probably cost them. But, like, the Dreamcast is one of those, like, really under the radar, but super ahead of it. It was the first online console.
Yeah.
But before any of the other ones. The VMU, certain games that it ran, it was so ahead of its time. I yeah. love the
if
Dreamcast.
Only they thought of security when it came to... making their
yeah.
system, it might have had a better chance, and people just straight up.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, it became the most pirated system, didn't it?
It had literally no security.
It was just burned
just
discs everywhere. You could buy them in Chinatown
yeah.
and stuff. Yeah, I remember half my games were just burned discs for the Dreamcast. Yeah,
that was pretty much
That's
like my introduction
crazy.
To the concept of like pirating games. Was I would play.
How does it feel to
NES
kill an
game.
Entire console?
Hey, I didn't buy one. I didn't even own a console,
dude.
So
I had
a PS2.
All the buddies at EB Games were like, "Yeah, you don't like." Even the dudes selling the games were like, "Yeah, we're buying. We just buy our own like burn copies,
yeah.
or we like take the game home and burn it and then bring it back because that was." Still in the day where you could return the game after 10 days. So it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll just buy it, burn it, and bring it back.
Yeah. It makes total sense. Was there a system that any of you guys owned where you didn't own a Game Shark or a Game Genie? Because I had one on everything I owned.
Of, like, the old ones, you
yeah.
mean?
Like it,
I didn't own one for the NES.
Well, but I'm talking, like, Game Boy, I had one. Super NES, Nintendo 64.
NES, I had one, but I didn't get one for anything else.
I had the fucking Action Replay, whatever the fucking thing you had to put on the back of the PS1 with that weird parallel port. Like, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was, That was before they, on PS2, I think they was it? It was a memory card, wasn't it? You just put in the slot.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you put in the code.
Yeah. But
you know what? I did have it for that.
For the PS2.
PS2 because you could. There was an attachment that you could hook to your computer, and it let you download rosters like NCAA football rosters.
Oh, like more content?
Yeah.
That wasn't already on the card.
It would customize
that
rosters,
too. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, customized rosters, because remember, NCAA football, you didn't have player names, you had numbers.
Yep, I painstakingly
so people
put those in
on their own time
manually.
Would... Yeah, and you... I don't know what you did back in the day, but you'd pay somehow over the internet someone some money, and they'd send you a link to download this
super illegal bullshit that we did back in the day. But yeah,
well, it wasn't illegal.
No, I'm sure it was fine.
That was on the up and up. I mean, well, not really. I mean, because those poor players now were being exploited by some guy in his dorm room.
It was completely pay to win. We were pay to win before pay to win. That's what Game Shark was.
Oh, I mean, if winning is enjoying my copy of NCAA oh, yeah. more,
with all the actual names on there,
I won every year.
Yeah,
I definitely did that because I did not want halfback five being drafted in Madden. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to have the real name of that guy. Another one that I have written down is the basically Game Boy as a whole, but specifically the little clip-on light, because that was basically
magnifying
glass too.
Yeah. That, before the color, that was the only way to play in the dark.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Like, that thing, I would remember before that, it would be me sitting next to the lamp playing Game mm-hmm. Boy at nighttime, because that was literally the only way you could see that fucking screen. And so, yeah.
Wonder what they were thinking when they designed that.
That was at the time, unless it was
probably
a color screen.
Too much to backlight it.
I mean, look at the Game Gear. That thing took 40 AA batteries and only lasted an hour. So.
That's why I only ever played my Game Gear plugged in. Never played it with batteries. That thing was a monster.
Nomad. Oh, gosh, the Nomad was even worse. The battery life was even worse.
It also heated up like a motherfucker.
We had it plugged in when we played it. But that thing was the Nomad was my favorite.
I always wanted one of those. Just the thought of being able to take a console with you on the go. It was just like, that's fucking mind-blowing.
Sega
was cartridges on that bad boy.
Awesome.
I got another one, if you're still talking about this.
Yeah.
How about those Rock Band
purples? Oh, yeah. Those and Guitar Hero. Although Rock Band did it better, but yeah.
So many drum sets and guitars I've owned over the years.
So many of them now in pawn shops sitting around.
Yeah, you can't fucking give those things away. I've been to so many stores that just they don't even carry them anymore. It's just it just takes up so much space, and most of them are trash. They're so beaten and broken down. You can't even probably find a decent set of anything anymore.
I feel like if those games ever made, Rocksmith is the new age version of Guitar Hero, and that requires a real guitar, which is fucking sick. So I hope if those, and it teaches you how to really play guitar. I've always considered buying Rocksmith because I want to learn I know how to play a few random things that I taught myself, but I would hope if these kinds of games ever made a comeback, that's what they would do. You have an electronic drum set. Cause fuck, an electronic drum set would cost you probably $100 or under, even if you buy a shitty one. Way easier than having a fucking Rock Band piece of bullshit plastic set up in front of you.
Oh, yeah. I bought the pro drum kit for Rock Band. That's how serious I was about playing that shit.
That thing was well made.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the pro set was well made.
That was
because it was actual rubber and
it was
real to be hit.
Yeah, it was designed like an actual electric drum set, so it wasn't cheap trash. And
I guess the microphone wasn't terrible, but those guitars, we had so many of them from Guitar Hero and stuff like that. But that phase of games was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the shit out of all those games.
Played the hell out of those games.
Probably thousands
now
of
I
hours
just,
spent on those games.
Yeah. Now I just need to get a VR so I can play
Beat Saber.
Beat Saber, yeah. That game looks so good.
Mm-hmm. They keep expanding on that one, too.
Yeah, but only on PC. PS4 you have to have, or console, I should say, has specific things. PC
right, so
has
yeah, you basically have to play that on PC.
Yeah.
Did you guys own a vertical stand for your PS2? Because I did.
No.
Yep.
I never had it vertical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had one.
Mm-hmm. Completely unnecessary, but I had it just because I could. It was like, hey.
Well, it saved room probably, right?
Yeah.
You have it.
Yeah. You could like store like memory cards on the sides and shit and your controllers.
Oh, nice.
Completely unnecessary nonsense. That was just such a.
Oh, yeah. That was a waste of money.
Gimmick piece of crap. But yeah, that was back and it was like, oh, yeah, new stuff. Yeah, that. I had a PS2 remote for my PS2 again.
Oh, hell yeah.
Too. For like.
Another pointless.
Yeah. Then again,
it was good for DVDs.
I'll say that was my first DVD player.
I had one too.
Also, yes.
Yeah, but it's easier.
Again, completely unnecessary. But I was like, "Ooh, that's cool."
There were wireless controllers for PS2.
Have a
so was,
there were.
I never got those.
The 360 wireless charging dock. That was nice.
Oh yeah. I never got into like any of the charging docks, which in hindsight seems foolish. And nowadays they're like completely unnecessary. It's just here, just plug them
in. Just plug it in
a
go,
USB hub
to anything.
Yeah, plug them into your fucking computer and they'll charge. But that always seemed like something.
My stuff on my laptop all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I do remember that though for the 360. Specifically the battery charging like little dock.
Mm,
like,
yep.
Yeah, I remember having that.
You could take out the actual thing.
Yeah,
because
that was like, all right, just fucking have like two rechargeable batteries always charging. Just like quick flip them out, like pop one in, pop one out, and that was key.
I don't know why, because that's
a professional move right there.
Eventually they went with the actual battery pack. It didn't need batteries. Yeah. It was just like an actual lithium ion. Why didn't they go with that from the start?
Again, probably cost
money.
Cost saving. It's just hey,
yeah, but
fuck you. You put batteries in this shit. We ain't gonna put those in there.
I can't imagine it cost them that much
my
more.
My Xbox
to put it...
One X or my Xbox One S controller needs batteries.
Yeah, you have to buy the rechargeable pack.
That doesn't
I have
come
to
with
buy
the
batteries
other...
for that.
You can buy
that. Doesn't come with the actual battery pack. You have to... That's bullshit.
No.
That's fucking stupid.
So it's I got a USB cord hooked up to the controller.
I mean,
that's Microsoft's answer to fucking wireless. Use batteries.
I mean, think specifically about that console. That was like their cost.
Don't you have a bank account?
Cutting cheapo console. So I'm sure they cut every corner they could. That
just
was
make
one,
it Bluetooth. Everything's Bluetooth now.
Yeah, I mean,
Microsoft
cars don't even have
bad decisions.
Dude, cars don't even have CD players anymore. They just have Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah, I've got a CD player.
I do too, but my car is also a 2011.
Let's see, it's a 2012. How about the best peripheral ever created was the PlayStation 2 hard disk drive that came with Final Fantasy XI.
Yep.
That and the Wi-Fi,
always.
Being able to take that thing online.
Oh yeah, the network adapter. Oh yeah, game changer.
Oh yeah, that was okay.
Game changer.
But I'm talking
I use that
about
thing
the
for
hard
Madden.
Disk drive.
Yep.
Well, yeah. That was good too. I'm just saying they go hand in hand. I think. I
was always waiting for those SOCOM 2 maps to come out.
Dude,
and I was like,
they were really bad, yep. By the way.
I never ended up getting the hard.
I played them.
Yeah.
After months of Final Fantasy XI, they finally came out, and I said, "You know what? I bought this thing for the maps."
Yep.
I'm going to try the
maps. Oh, they suck.
Oh, they were glitchy as shit. No one was playing the game anymore.
I mean, yeah, the game
was
dead.
Bad.
Yeah. And I
they should really redo that game. Like, that should be... Who made that?
They're out of business now. I don't...
Zipper.
Yeah.
Was that a Sony company, or were they their own thing?
Yes. I think Sony scooped them up, but then they... After... SOCOM 4? They made one for PS3.
Yeah, they made...
Well, if they still own the rights, they should definitely...
Oh, yeah, they still own the IP.
Overhaul
that
game.
That company, unfortunately, got fucked because SOCOM 4 came out, and then there was that whole PSN crash,
really
like, a week later, where PSN was down for, like,
God,
a month.
Oh, the PS3 thing?
Yeah. And it basically, killed that game right out the gate. So,
that's unfortunate. Yeah. I heard it also wasn't super great.
Right,
either.
I mean, by then, like, that was already, like, when Call of Duty was big, so playing, like, a third-person style game felt so dated. I mean, someone could do it. If someone could make a really good, like, third-person, like, kind of tactical shooter...
You don't have... it's squad-based. I mean, that's why, like, Battlefield Bad Company 2 was so good. Like, you don't have...
And, like, those big
what's
maps.
The last...
Like, those were big fucking maps.
Yeah, dude.
For, like, a
what's
4v4
the last...
game.
What's the last squad shooter there was? I mean, I guess Tarkov is kind of a squad shooter, but like...
But it's not like built around...
AAA squad shooter? I can't even think of one.
No.
I guess Rainbow would be the closest, but that's match-based, so it's not even the same thing.
Yeah, and then like...
Ghost Recon?
Sure. Yeah, you're probably... Yeah. Probably.
That, no, it's
and those
like,
were fun games too?
Like Rainbow Six from last gen, like Vegas.
Vegas?
Vegas, like yeah, I
like,
guess.
That's the closest thing. And even that's still pretty different. Like, there's nothing really...
SOCOM was it...
Yeah, Gears, actually, you're not wrong. Gears of War is
Gears
not,
is actually...
kind of
no,
like it, too.
It is. It's SOCOM on a very small level, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, I would love, like, missions and, like, full-on... That would be...
Oh, God, remember, it came with
fucking
the fucking
awesome.
Headset, and you could, like,
headset,
talk to the AI, and it never fucking worked.
That's on my list. The SOCOM microphone is on my list.
Shit. You know what's like it? The Division.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, there
you go.
Go.
Yeah, that too.
The Division is pretty much
I keep thinking
new
about
age
that
game. SOCOM.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to play it one of these days. I know I'm going to
I want to play Division 2. I haven't touched Division 2. One day when that game's, like,
$5... Deleted it like a week or two ago, you sons of bitches.
Well, don't
one day when
that
game's
yet.
Super cheap,
say,
and you guys
next time
play.
It goes on sale, Jake, you buy it, and then we'll all start playing.
Sure,
it
maybe we'll see.
Yeah, but yeah, oh gosh, I remember, and that was back in the days of push to talk on your microphone.
Yep,
yeah, you hold down circle and you get the little bleep because remember, there was a fight to be the last person talking.
Oh,
in the
yeah, every time there was always, yeah, fighting to see who can get the last word in. And then, fuck, I mean, even going off that point, like, 360, the concept of a wireless headset for, consoles, like, that was, and shit, even back then, like, I remember 360, all I had was the little, like, you had the little earpiece. It was, I didn't even have full-blown, like, a full-blown headset at that time. That was just a little.
I just used the thing that came with the Xbox. It was
yeah,
little,
me too. The foamy bullshit piece.
Oh, see, I had
God,
the
that
little,
thing was
like,
so bad.
Still, yeah.
It's still my favorite headset. Are you kidding me? It was comfy,
it's...
it was light.
It
I
was
hear
comfy.
Everything. Everyone
could well,
hear,
you hear
and not hear my televisions.
Yeah,
you
little,
could hear out of one ear.
Right. I had the little chat earpiece, the wireless one, because that was like
yeah,
a
but
big
I
deal
could have
time.
My TV on loud so I can hear it just fine, and no one would hear that.
Yeah, I guess it was a different era playing without a full headset.
A better era.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. You can't play games today. You can't play tactical games today without a full headset. It's just not possible.
I mean, depending on your setup.
You're going to get owned.
I mean, depending.
Well.
If you have like a kicking surround setup, I would say it's no
sure,
worse.
I guess. I would say 9 times out of 10, if you have somebody with a good stereo setup and then somebody with headphones and you're playing something like Rainbow or Tarkov or something, 9 times out of 10, the people with headsets are
good. The headphones are going to have a better time.
Right.
Yeah. But
because you're going to cancel all noise around you. It's just going to be the noise from the game in your ears.
And also, the soundscape in some of those games are like you walk on a fucking pebble and it makes a crunch. Like
it.
That. Yeah. Especially if you're wearing like tacons. I can hear somebody fucking aim down sights on me 30 meters away. It's fucking crazy.
Speaking of wireless, did you guys have to get the wireless network adapter for the 360? Back before that came
In. That's right. The little thing with the antenna on the back. I forgot about that. That was the first Xbox 360 I owned. That console was so shit. I owned like four of those
hard drive,
goddamn things.
Fucking 20 gig hard drive. And it was like $100. It was a fucking ridiculous in
the stupid transfer pack that you had to do when you bought the new
pain
one.
Pain in the ass. Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe how often those things died.
Those. And I got mine back-to-back, so I got my first one crashed within, like, 2 months.
Ooh,
and
that's
then I
rough.
Sent it in, and the next one I got was, like, a week. And then the next one I got was like a brand new console. Like you can check, it had a born on date on the back. And it was just like fresh off the line within that month. And that was the one I had the entire rest of the way. And I sold it, you know, just a couple years ago.
I think I went through 5 Xboxes by the end. But yeah,
those things were not well made.
No, they were not. But yeah, like you said, I had that last one that was like the black shiny one with the
slim.
Yeah, that was the only one that actually lasted.
Those were great.
Yeah, like you said, I also sold.
That was one of those old blocky white ones.
Oh,
you got so lucky because you got yours off the line. I feel like once it, my third or fourth one was the next gen. It was like the Xbox or 360 Pro. It was essentially the slim, like Mike's mm-hmm. talking about. That one was fine for the rest of the generation.
Yeah, that was the only one that like didn't have. They finally figured it out like right near the end.
Yeah.
Of how to make
fucking
those things
stupid
not trash.
Though. Oh. Because I remember all the videos like, well, you wrap your towel around
totally
it
towel
and heat it with
Xbox.
I do, too.
Like
oh,
a
I did, too.
Weeks of time.
Yep. It works for a little while, and then it stops working and works yep. even less. Oh, God. I don't. What's funny to me is, like, that was a rampant problem for everybody, and they were just like, yeah, this happens sometimes. It's like, dude, it's happening to everybody. What the fuck?
You are a running joke on the internet.
Yeah, to this
yeah.
day. Like,
it's fucking crazy. I don't think I've ever met somebody that had a 360 that didn't have to get at least a second one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, like, impossible. That was, like, a guarantee.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No
Everybody
one was,
I know had at least
it,
one.
Yeah. It, yeah. Yeah. You were going
or
through
two.
A few.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Fucking nuts.
Oh, man.
How about that, how about Rob?
I never owned an NES. So
oh,
no.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't own it, though.
You guys are probably too young for Rob.
I know what it
no,
is. I just never had one.
I mean, you guys know what it is. I'm just saying, I was a child when Rob came out. You guys might not even been born.
Didn't it only work with, like, one game?
No, there was...
Oh, two.
Two games. It was a terrible peripheral, but it looked so cool and it moved
Dang,
and shit.
That,
so.
They made that so stores would carry the NES. That was the only reason they made Rob.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
and now it's worth
reason.
Like $2,000.
If you can get a,
oh yeah, that thing was amazing.
If you can get a working one, you can get one pretty
right.
easily. Get one with all the parts that
working.
Works.
Yeah.
That's the gold mine, which yeah, extremely
What's...
rare.
This is a standalone thing. It was, I guess you can call it its own console. I, to this day, I can't remember the goddamn name, but I wish I could. It was a little, like a keyboard that you worked with your TV. I think it was, I don't know what the fuck it was called. It had like a bunch of mini games on it. It all took place in space. There was like a crossword one. There was math stuff. There was, like, English stuff. It was kind of like a learning program, but I don't know what the fuck it ran off of.
Are you thinking of the Pico for the Sega Genesis?
No. This was something standalone. This was not related to any console. It was its own thing.
Oh,
I just
gosh,
do not remember
oh,
what
like
the fuck
billion
it
of
was
things.
Called. No, I know, and that's the problem. I wish I could remember this specific one.
Hmm.
Because it was
While
really,
you Google
really
it,
yeah, fun.
It's been
I'm not,
hours.
It would take hours to Google.
Power pad.
It would take me hours to Google it.
Yes.
You guys remember the NES Power Pad?
Only yeah, that
the
and
game?
It's the reason stadium events is worth so much money.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
The thing was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Such bullshit.
I got to play on it once.
It was terrible,
it's
I imagine.
One of the greatest days of my life. Yeah. What are you talking about? You get to run in place and jump.
On a shitty plastic pad.
In a video game. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I remember
it was no Sega Activator, but I mean, what can be at that time? You guys remember that shit? Another thing. That was the thing that gave you, like, the force feedback that you wore on your chest.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like a rumble
right.
pack for your body.
Yeah. So fucking stupid.
It was fucking stupid. Yeah.
And I think, again, it only worked with, like, a couple games. It was, like, mostly fighting
Also,
games.
Why would you do that to yourself? I'm going to feel like I'm being punched in the chest when I'm getting punched. Like, fucking, all right.
Because VR was on the way, and then someone along the line just kind of quit.
No, they made the virtual...
Body VR by now.
No, instead they made the Virtual Boy and burned everybody's eyeballs out.
Oh, that thing was terrible.
I rented that thing from Blockbuster, and it, I remember playing it for like a day of the couple days that I had it, because it was just a fucking nightmare.
Parents
and it
couldn't
made me
wait
nauseous.
To bring that back to us, because they hated it. It was
I'm
the
sure.
worst.
It was the worst.
It gave me headaches. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I remember
because it was all just so red.
Yeah.
It was
so glad
you
I never
did
got
not
one.
Miss out no, on anything.
I,
yeah,
I remember it's like I remember it like I remember hurt. It was like, man, Virtual Boy, that's gonna be really cool. And then like all of a sudden, like no one talked about it anymore. I'm like, huh, guess it wasn't that cool after.
Not to mention, it was a bad setup because it was like angled down at like a 30-degree angle, so you had to like sit weirdly and like plant your face in it. It was fucking bad.
It was so stupid. Like, and like when our hardware would break or something, we never replaced it. We just,
oh
like,
yeah, I don't doubt that for a second. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine it was that popular of an ask anyway.
Oh no, I think that thing was like dead within like barely more than a year. I think they already were like,
yeah. Oh yeah, I'd give that thing 6 months tops.
Yeah, that thing went away very fast.
Disgusting.
But in true Nintendo fashion, there's a bunch of games for it.
Of course, they fucking shelled out as much shit as they could for that thing. Just like the.
I've got one. Oh. I got one more on my list. Close one more out. Amazing one. The Res Trance USB vibrator.
What?
The ultimate. Peripheral.
It's perverted.
It's exactly what it sounds like, Jake.
It's a vibrator.
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
For your Dreamcast, I think, at the time, I think it was available for.
Apparently Adam and Eve sell one, too.
Oh, of course they do.
There you go.
Yeah, that was...
Nipple stimulator.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Okay, you are going down off.
No, that was on the same site. It was on the same site. I didn't know that was a thing. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just one of those I remember back in our old IGN days, this huge thread about Rez and this stupid vibrator dominating the conversation for weeks. It was entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah.
I mean, sexual peripherals on consoles, PC, basically whatever, have been... I mean, it's been around now for such a long time, it's... I can't imagine what the future is going to hold. Because it's already, like, the VR stuff is pretty nuts. Once they start going another step or two with technology, it's going to be
interesting. Oh, I've seen some news stories on those things, and it's already pretty nuts.
You had to have seen a thing or two down at PAX for this.
No, they don't really aim towards the adult oriented content.
Pornhub sometimes had booths though at conventions I would go to.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily PAX, but yeah, there's not any not safe for work style of stuff there. Except the one booth that sold custom controllers, and they had a menu on the back. That specific, they had all the a nice glass display that all their controllers, beautiful like artwork, like incredible custom controllers, like they were like $150-$200, but the just incredible looking stuff. And then you see on the menu in the back in the corner, it's like, ask us about our Ahagao controller. I'm like, a fucking course you have that, and of course it's not out for display. Because
did you ask to see
fuck
it?
No, I didn't. I believe I've seen a picture of it online, and it says perverted.
Get your phone out to get a picture.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
yeah. But I'm like, of course you wouldn't have that one on display because you guys want to appear not like perverts, and I totally get that.
We've got to get the families to come up to your booth.
Also, that yeah, you don't want to be
there's.
Yeah. You're selling if custom controllers for kids. You don't want that sitting out.
Your little plushy Pikachu's there, and right next to it is this controller.
If these companies don't have some sort of thing going on like that in the back of their minds, they're not thinking about their entire demographic.
You go where the money is. And the money
and
is
sex
in,
sells.
Yes, pornography.
What did they say? That PS4 was like the most used console to search.
I think they
porn?
Said like out of all, I think it was like over 50%, wasn't it? Like out of all the platforms that
base
have
home
a browser,
consoles. Yeah. It, fucking crazy,
like,
man.
How many, I mean, some people want to watch porn on their TV, and how else are you going to watch porn on your TV these days unless you have, like, a computer hooked up to your television? So
no, that's fair.
I mean,
that's people's computers sometimes. So
I mean,
if
look,
you're going to go on the internet, that's where you browse.
A lot of high schoolers got their PS4s in their bedrooms.
90%
no, it makes
of
sense.
My YouTube, Netflix, and Hulu is through my PS4. Like,
I would 90%. Agree with that.
So
it
makes sense.
I actually watch Twitch on my PS4 sometimes, too,
also
if
that,
I don't want to get up. Yeah, I mean, to your point, and you said this last week, apps like Discord and whatever the other, I can't think of other things off the top of my head, but like things like Discord, those should be apps on the PS5 and the, I mean, I guess they're, I would assume they're going to be, but you put those on there, people will start using that shit way more than they're going to use the party system.
Just for the fact of like having like cross platform chat,
that too,
just being able to, especially with
you'll
all
be able to hang
being,
out with all
right,
your friends,
especially for all these games being like cross play now across consoles, it would be nice for all everyone to chat in one thing, because otherwise like a lot of people are just like, well, we're just gonna chat on we're all gonna get on our PCs and chat on Discord and play a game, so it wouldn't be nice to just have it integrated.
We should start doing that now that we're more spread out. We should make a Discord channel and like hang out in there too, because when I'm on PC, and sometimes it's hard for me to be on a PS4 party if I'm listening through something or vice versa.
Oh yeah, I mean, I totally get it, especially when we're like playing together, and not even playing necessarily together, but you know, chatting, just hanging out,
yeah,
and we're all playing on different platforms. It totally makes sense.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's our trip down accessory and peripheral memory lane, and
it's a lot more than I remembered.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's probably
a lot more we left out.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
There's a ton,
even more to talk about and think about over the next couple days as they pop into our brains. But yeah, thanks back button attachment for inspiring this wonderful conversation, and hopefully someday I'll get to actually see one in person and actually play one. But for now, that is going to wrap up this week's episode. Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at FetTheAssassin.
And you can find me on Twitter at JustSurvive, on Twitch at TheJustSurvive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. You can also go to our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact information, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, on Spotify, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always say go and write us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.
Peace.
See ya.
Bye.